It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, folks, it's my great pleasure to once again welcome into the studio for another edition of Valley Edition. Three panelists selected. I'm not quite sure we should be revealing just how they were selected, but in any case, I would like to say welcome to Terry Snyder. Welcome, Terry.
I think the word is sacrifice, Mike. But
okay. Okay, welcome. Welcome, Terry. And welcome, David Cheesham. Welcome.
Well, thank you.
And the third member of the panel this week, of course, is Mark Kelsey. Welcome, Mark.
Good to be here.
Well, probably what we need to do, since this is the last edition that we'll be covering activities that are happening at the fair as they're happening, we may be looking back next week. But I know that people have been to the fair. A number of us have been there many times. And other people have observed it from afar or observed the effect of the fair on the community. So I want to start, let's start with Mark. Mark, you were at the fair. You had a chance. You were there a number of hours. And you've been to previous fairs. What kind of observations do you have about this year in particular, as you think about being there, people you interacted with? Any observations?
Yeah, I don't feel like I had enough of a sample to, you know, have some solid observations. I felt maybe like the crowd was not quite where it had been in the past years, although that could well be a function of the time of day I went. I took the family Sunday in the morning last week, so it was for the first two or so hours, you know, it was quite easy to move around. And then as the day progressed and the weather got better, the crowd picked up too. And I was there again Tuesday afternoon in the Radio Free Palmer booth and was, I think, might be the first time I've ever been on a weekday and was quite surprised that the thinness of the traffic.
Right, right. That tends to happen. I'm going to jump to Terry here because, Terry, you were there a number of times, and any observations you would make about this year's fair?
Well, Sunday, actually, I think was their biggest weekend day. It was bigger than Saturday, so I think it got really busy at the end of the day, and I think weather just always drives these things. And Tuesday, I was sort of surprised there were that many people there because when I got up in the morning, Kinnick had no power. It was raging wind in Wasilla, although nice in Anchorage, and then it flipped during the day, and Anchorage got a ton of rain. And I think oftentimes people, if they have a few days, they know a four-day work weekend's coming up, they'll say, weather's not so good, I'll go later. I think this will be the test this weekend and see how they do. I was there last night. I thought it was great for us locals because there weren't a herd of people there. It was still, you know, good clip of people, but not overwhelming like it's been on a lot of days. But I think this may be the first year that we really start to see some type of a commentary on our economy, because people tend to go to the fair every year, and kids want to go to the fair every year. And if people aren't going to the fair, I really think it's not really the fair. I think it's really just the first comment on the uncertainty in our economy here.
Okay. And David, you have been busy doing other things. We'll be talking about some of those later. But from the perspective of someone who's been here in town, the bookstore, for example, can you see the shadow of the fair or its effect?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's still bringing people in to town and definitely see more activity in downtown Palmer. But I know that the weather does drive it. So if we have a decent weekend, then it might pick up. But we'll see.
Okay.
And has anybody heard any, you know, real figures from fair people about attendance?
No. And this is the opportunity that we have here, as we sometimes do, to make a prediction. Mm. I started this yesterday. I'm out to the fair every day, and I might just throw in a few observations. My guideline is what happens to parking lots. So, for example, to this point, I have not seen yet a spillover of parking lots into the fields to the east of the fairgrounds. And if you have a really, really busy time, that tends to happen. I have also not seen parking lots filling up completely. And during the week, I know it's light. But I have seen some what appear to me to be extra light parking lot fill-ups. So I'm basing something on that. I have had an opportunity to talk with a few of the vendors. I'm getting a grudging expression that it's a little light. And so last year there were just under 300,000 people that were at the fair. And this year, I think the consensus seems to be that it'll be below that. Now, how much below? I'm not sure. Any thoughts that you have, given the admittedly limited observations that we all have had?
Not so much on attendance per se, but to Terry's point about how this might be the start of, you know, how we see the effect of the economy on the fair. You know, I think that there's probably a lot of people who will continue to go but not spend as much inside. So it will be interesting to hear from vendors afterward about that part of it.
Okay, so two data sets that we're looking to see. One, the big one is first level is how many people were there. And then to your point, Mark, when the city of Palmer gets to the point where they have gathered all their sales taxes and they have a number there, they'll make some comparison. And we can do the math and do the division and say the average person spent X versus Y last year or the years before. So we're looking forward to that. Might have it as early as next week. That's going to be very interesting. I like the idea. The fair is it's hard to describe it as a bellwether. It's like this huge bellwether for the economy. Potentially.
Yeah, it'll be even more interesting to find out what they spent it on. Did they spend it on rides? Did they spend it on food? Or did they, you know, spend it just around in vendor booths? But right. I asked yesterday about it, and they said it'd be a while before they had all those numbers.
Right.
Count all the hand tickets.
Well, just to follow up before we move on to other topics, we had the great opportunity to do a number of things. We, at the booth, had both senators, U.S. senators, stop by, Senator Sullivan first, and then Senator Lisa Murkowski after that. Lisa Murkowski was the keynote speaker at the combined Palmer-Wasilla Chamber of Commerce meeting, and she seemed to reprise the presentation that she did the day before in Anchorage at a Rotary luncheon. Her focus was quite clearly on when she went through everything else. She said, I'm saving essentially the best for last, and spent the remaining part of her talk focused on healthcare. Terry, you were there. What kind of summary would you give?
Well, I think she was very succinct and very clear about why she voted the way she voted. She you know, let everybody know that her travel, she'd been in Alaska on recess, you know, since early in the month, and she had heard nothing but support for what she had, her decision was a hard one, but she also made a point of saying there was no cost savings in there for Alaskans. And she did what she thought was the best for her constituents, not so much what was best. She didn't say party, but she said, you know, she thought for Alaskans that she did. And it was, she seemed very confident about what she did and not defensive at all and gave good reasonings for it. I think she did a good job, and I think the crowd, you know, pretty much accepted that.
And of course, being at Chambers of Commerce, there were people that represented quite a diversity of business perspectives, and I think to some degree political perspectives. Mm-hmm. Standing ovation when she came out, standing ovation when she had finished. And then later on when she stopped by the booth, we talked about things a bit more Alaskan, if you will, what she was doing there at the fair, why she was there. She expressed great interest in the fair, likes the fair. And if you had been around, you would have seen her visiting different booths and places and also speaking to an important part of her life, which is hunting. She was going hunting before she went back to D.C., interesting enough, Senator Sullivan, in the interview the day before, was doing the same kind of thing. He was visiting places. He was going to be going off with his family to a cabin and doing some hunting as well before he returned. So the two of them will be going back to Washington, D.C. on Monday and go from there with what they're doing. Senator Sullivan's focus in the interview that he gave, however, when asked about what what really he was interested in particular when he was back in Washington was a focus on economic development. He used that term. And we did not talk about health care in the kind of detail that Senator Murkowski did. But Senator Murkowski further went on to point out that Alaskan representatives would be there on day one in the committees that she was involved with to make sure that the Alaskan voice was heard. And her interest was in transparency. She used those terms as well. She spoke to all of that and then finished up, I think, with something that was interesting and important. She has said this before in public forums. She's very much in support of public radio and thinks that the voices that are heard, community radio and public radio that we're all part of, are very important. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think we should also mention that it was a sold-out crowd. I think there were 200 tickets sold for the lunch that she was the keynote for, and she stayed behind until everybody was gone. And there was quite a line of people that lined up to see her and talk to her for a minute and have their picture taken, and she was going to stay at the fair all day. She spent the whole day at the fair, and she didn't seem in any hurry to leave, which I think is really a nice touch that she was willing to talk to everybody.
Okay.
And were there any unhappy people?
I didn't see any.
Who challenged her?
Did you, Mike?
There was one question. You have to understand, we were in a venue that was essentially a giant tent, which appeared to be very, very nicely constructed and all, and the winds came up. And I would have to say this, that the senator persisted, went right on through, was heard throughout the ambient noise that was provided, made some comments about the wind blowing, et cetera. But the reality was, it was not an easy way for someone without a mic to ask a question from the audience. There was one person who made an observation, and she very nicely was able to capture the essence of that observation and question. And it had to do actually with insurance across state lines, health insurance. And she answered that, saying that that kind of thing was being looked at, but once again, there are great complications when you start saying that you want to put Alaska and Washington and other states in a large pool. So we'll see how that all turns
Primarily
out.
Because of our cost and our population. Not very attractive for another.
Mark.
And are the interviews that you did, are they available on the website?
No, we do not have those as recordings. They were very specific. We will be doing this, though, in anticipation of their return to Washington, we have arranged to have half-hour-long interviews with both the senators that will be recorded and broadcast once they get their feet on the ground at that point. Let's switch now, though, to something that is coming up, because this is the Labor Day weekend, and Labor Day weekend is one of the last gasps for many people to think about travel, being out and about. Zaz Hollander, who very often sits on our panel here, is actually on her way to McCarthy for the weekend, one of the premier destinations around. I know, Mark, you're going off on a trip as well. Where have you chosen to go?
We are headed in general to the peninsula. Specific destination will depend on weather.
Ah, okay. Another way, going south, make that happen. I'm delayed a bit in taking a trip of this sort because we're going to be out at the fair through Labor Day. But right next weekend, we're heading up to Denali. Denali is, we found a wonderful place if you can get there in between times before it finally closes down. But after Labor Day, fewer people, many fewer mosquitoes, and a nice place to sort of camp and relax. But we also know that David Cheesham has had an opportunity to take a ride that many people probably think about and yet never quite get to do. So David, tell us a little bit of a summary. Where did you start from and where did you go on a ride on a bicycle not so long ago?
Oh, yeah. Well, I started bicycling a couple years ago, basically just interested in commuting to work to reduce the carbon footprint. It sounded a bit more symbolic than real, but it was just something I enjoyed doing, and I just developed a real passion for it. And Tony at the bicycle shop down the road was just talking about, well, if you want a really good ride, you should ride the Denali Highway. and I took up the challenge. I didn't quite go. He suggested starting at the Sheep Mountain area and going out. But my lovely wife dropped me off at Gacona, which is right by Glen Allen, and so I rode up to Paxton and then across the Denali Highway to Cantwell and then back. And she was nice enough to pick me up again and the near Talkeetna. And so it was a beautiful, beautiful ride. Just the highway, even the Richardson Highway, weaving in and out of the mountains or circling, not weaving in and out, but circling around the mountains and the curves in the road and the beautiful landscape and the adventure of riding on that washboard gravel road and the hills. It was just I'm ready to do it again. Just wonderful.
Wow, how many miles is that?
I think the trip was about 250. The highway itself is 137, probably close to the 200-mile mark for the whole trip.
How long did it take?
5 days. Wow. Maybe 6 days.
Mark.
And what surprised you? You know, surely you did some research before you went. Did things come up that you did not expect?
Well, you know, I didn't have a lot of expectations. I looked up and read some blogs about other people who had done the trip. I my map reading skills combined with the quality of the map and the gazetteer had me a little confused about which was up and which was down. So I thought I found out that the my second day of riding, which I thought was going to be all uphill, ended up being all downhill. So I feel a little embarrassed about that. So I really that second day was on this gravel road was I think I pedaled 4 times.
Wow.
And for about 12 hours but there's no way to prepare for it except to make sure you have good rain gear and all that. But it was raining a lot and it seems like it would start raining every time I went downhill and the sun would come out every time I went uphill. So I had to, but it was, one of the things that was surprising is just the people I met on the road, just, talking to them. I had some, I camped one spot where there's a husband and wife hunters who were, had an, RV pulled up there and they were so pleasant that, you know, it was raining, and so they kind of felt sorry for me, and they invited me in for a hot drink, for some tea, and chatted, and they told stories, and that was really, really delightful. But it's just so amazing when you're out there, and you can just stop with the bike and look out at the mountains and the and it's always fun to look back at the road weaving in and out of view and down to the horizon and see how far you've just gone and maybe not look so hard ahead to see how far you have to go.
So, David, what you were able to do, I mean, you started here in the Matanuska-Susitna Borough. You moved out of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough as you went up through Glen Allen, and then you re-entered the Matanuska-Susitna Borough and came on back down.
That was, it was really... fun to see those way signs, landmarks going in and out of the borough.
Sure. How about that? Any last comments? Terry?
No, I'm just envious.
You ready to go?
No, I'm probably not. I don't know that I could sit on a bike seat that long, but.
Oh, let's drop everything and do it right now. Let's go. Let's go.
Well, thank you, David, for sharing that, because one of the things we do, we talk about all kinds of interesting aspects of life here in the Valley and Valley in Addition. But sometimes it's worthwhile reminding people that there are extensions to our normal life that we can take that take us off into perhaps areas that we've been, but with a different perspective. Many people have driven that road. They've been on it, either in an RV or some other vehicle. But getting onto a bike gives you a different perspective, definitely, I would say. Well, let's finish up this week's edition with some commentary about the upcoming election. In particular, we're here in Palmer, and each one of the areas around the borough this year has a unique opportunity to vote because as a result of some changes made, in particular in the way in which members are elected to the school board, we have some places which have almost nothing to vote on. If you live in some parts of the borough, for example, and you don't happen to have a representative either to the assembly or the school board, you have nothing in this race. On the other hand, if you are in a place like Wasilla, the city of Wasilla has a number of
council
members, mayor, and a tax proposal. If you are in Talkeetna, you have a tax proposal on your ballot. And if you're in Palmer here, you have an opportunity to vote for two of four candidates for the positions available on the Palmer City Council. There are two open positions. And that's it. I would just encourage people to look carefully at their ballots and the balloting, because of these changes and the way the ballots are structured, it's not just business as usual. So, for example, we have the situation here in Palmer, and Terry, you have some information about that. You had spoken to the Palmer City Clerk.
I've been getting a lot of questions about where do you vote if you are the city. Do you go to the city of Palmer to vote, or where do you vote? Because there's no borough, nothing on the borough ballot. But as it turns out, you still go to your normal precincts. It'll just be the Palmer ballot that's there. So early voting can still be done at the borough. They'll have all the ballots there, of course, no matter where you come from. And they can do the city. And if you are for somewhere, one of those areas that also has the ballot question on it, you can do it there. But people have been a little confused this year, I think, because there's just not a lot on there for some precincts.
Right.
Nothing for some precincts.
Now, one thing that you have mentioned before that's happening in April in Anchorage, this thing might just make life easier and perhaps encourage more voting. Talk about
that. Right. So in April, Anchorage will go to a mail-in ballot. First election they're going to have for a mail-in ballot. And then I also have heard this week that the lieutenant governor has convened a group of people to study the election process in Alaska, because just like other states, our voting machines have gotten very old, and there's going to be a lot of money required to upgrade them. And they've been talking about going to a mail-in ballot, and it's a nonpartisan group that he's brought together to study this. So maybe somebody on the panel knows more about it. So, you know, Oregon has done this for many, many years. Washington does it. Several states now do it. It's a cost saver, and voter turnout is better. So there's always those good reasons to do it. And, you know, really, we already have a mail-in ballot because people have absentee ballots they mail in. So for the people that, you know, are concerned a little bit about voter fraud and not doing it in person, it just hasn't proven to be a problem with our, you know, I would say we haven't had a problem up this point. And we have a high amount of absentee ballots normally for some elections. So this only makes me think it's only going to be successful here. But we'll see how it goes in April for Anchorage. And I know the borough is looking keenly on that, as are the cities, to see if there's some cost savings that can be had there. And also voter turnout could be increased. Do you know any more about it, David, about the state?
Okay. So one other thing that the borough is looking keenly at determining where they're going, and we're talking about the city of Wasilla. In fact, the city of Palmer is also looking toward the city of Wasilla. All eyes are on Wasilla for this particular topic, and what I'm referring to is plastic bags, because it appears at the moment the city of Wasilla has more discussion going on about whether banning plastic bags should occur in the city than anywhere. And the city of Palmer, at its last meeting of the council, said, well, let's watch and see what's happening. But there was some indication that they wanted to have that similar discussion, so they weren't just following along behind Wasilla. And, of course, the borough, because the borough assembly has put off until December this discussion, has also said, let us not only watch what the cities are doing, but also engage in a discussion with the cities, because it's a fairly complicated process. The cities of Houston, I think, and Palmer and Wasilla all being able to ban, the borough not being able to ban, but to have an excise tax. And how does that all work if one entity does one thing and the other does another? So this would be interesting to see whether these four bodies can have the conversation and come up with a solution to plastic bags. Okay.
I think we have to quit calling it a tax and call it a user's fee, because that's basically what everybody's talking about. If you don't bring your own bag, you get to buy a bag that you can use to take your stuff home. So I think everybody's getting a little too wound up everywhere that I see on the tax thing, because normally tax is not something you can avoid. This you can avoid.
Right. Okay. So let's finish up with just a brief look forward into this next week. We have coming up a borough assembly meeting. Was there any agenda that was made
available? It did go out yesterday morning, and I didn't get to see it, so I don't think there's anything too startling on it.
Okay.
But
okay. We know that because
it is on the borough website right now.
Right. So we'll direct people to the borough website for the borough assembly agenda. The school board will be meeting as well. And I'm suspicious that, well, there won't be a lot being done. There are a number of considerations that have already been pushed forward. And because of the potential changes as a result of the election in October, I think people tend to delay focus and say, well, we're going to wait until we constitute the new council, board, assembly, and then go from there. Okay. Well, with that, I want to thank the panel members for participating this week in another edition of Valley Edition. I want to thank Mark Kelsey. Thank you, Mark.
Enjoy the holiday weekend, everyone.
I want to thank David Cheesham. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
And I want to thank Terry Snyder. Thank you, Terry.
Get to the fair. Last 4 days.
Last opportunities. Next week we'll be talking, looking back at the fair and looking forward at other things. Thank you for joining us for another edition of Valley Edition.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.